Good morning to all. I'm going to call to order the committee meeting on audit compliance and Title IX. Angela, will you please take roll?
Chair Arriscotta.
Here.
Vice Chair Cruz Crawford.
Here.
Regent Boylan.
If I can get this to move, I'm here.
Regent Brager.
Here.
Regent Del Carlo, here? Is Regent Boylan there?
Yeah. Hello?
Can I sit in your mic?
You do have a quorum.
Thank you.
Thank you, Angela. If we can have Vice Chair Downs, if you would lead us in a pledge.
Chair Arriscotta, I don't think you have your microphone on. We don't hear you here.
Now? Thumbs up. Thank you.
Yes, we hear you now.
Thank you. A little bit of technical difficulties up here. Thank you, Chair Carvalho. Today, before we begin, we take a moment to recognize that here in Nevada, we stand on the land of the Washishu, the Washoe, the Numu, the Northern Paiute, the Nui, the Western Shoshone, and the Nuwu, Southern Paiute. We take a moment to recognize and honor their stewardship that continues into today. With this recognition, we state an intention to rightfully include their voice and respect them as the 27 sovereign tribal nations of Nevada. Today, we'll begin with public comment. Is there public comment up in Elko?
There is no public comment up in Elko at this time.
Thank you.
Chair Arriscotta?
Yes.
Linda King, Associate General Counsel, for the record. You need to announce the call-in number for public comment, please.
Okay. Give me one more minute. We are having a little bit of... Hold on 1 minute. We're going to have one of our technical gentlemen read it for us from SCS.
Members of the public may attend the meeting and provide public comment or testimony at the sites. It can be offered via telephone via 669-444-9171. Enter meeting ID 928-4944-5069 and passcode 555-555.
Thank you, Gar. Is there a public comment in Las Vegas?
There's no public comment in Las Vegas.
Thank you, Chair. And there is no public comment here in Reno. So we are going to move on to agenda item number 2, the committee orientation and background. For this, I'm going to request Interim Chief Internal
Chair
Auditor
Arriscotta?
Linda Tripp. Jesus.
Pardon
yes.
Pardon the interruption, but you need to ask for any public comment on the call-in line. Thank you.
Councillor Clayton King, I do appreciate it. Is there any call-in from the public comment from the call-in line?
There is none at this time, Chair.
Thank you. I'm swinging for the rafters and I'm striking out on a lot, so let's keep on rolling here. All right, so we're going to go to item number 2. Here are the committee orientation and background. For this, I'm going to request Interim Chief, Internal Auditor Linda Tripp, to provide a general background and remarks in regards to the framework of this committee. Please, Linda Tripp.
Thank you, Chair Escada, and apologies for the kind of squeaky voice, but bear with me. And welcome, committee members. For the record, my name is Lauren Tripp, Interim Chief Internal Auditor at ENCHI. I am going to provide some brief remarks today to frame today's meeting and give some background on why we're here. This meeting is going to be very different than your typical meeting flow. So why are we holding this special meeting of the Audit Compliance and Title IX Committee? As noted back at the November meeting, I had mentioned we were on year 5 of 5 of our contract with our external auditors. It was also noted an RFP was going to be issued, there'd be an application window, and then finalists would be selected and come to present at that future meeting for selection. So this is that future meeting. As part of the RFP process, members were identified to participate in sort of like an RFP subcommittee, which consisted of an appropriate cross-section of ENCHI institutions and folks who would have a lot of interaction with those external auditors when they're out in the field. So think institutional controllers, other accounting personnel, financial aid directors, auditors, current and former. Thank you again to those who provided their valuable time and input to that subcommittee. That group reviewed the initial bids, and today you will hear from two very well-qualified, capable audit firms, Grant Thornton and Eide Bailly. So what do they bid on, and what exactly do these external auditors do? I am confident both of these external audit groups can and will explain much more eloquently than I can, but in the spirit to provide just some high-level framework, the firms presenting today are aiming to provide external audit services over four distinct areas. First is ENCHI's Consolidated Financial Statement Audit. What does that mean? ENCHI's management prepares and owns their financial statements, and an external auditor performs procedures within certain standards and expresses an opinion on those statements as to whether or not they're presented fairly. Number two is ENCHI's Uniform Guidance Audit, also known as a single audit, previously known as the A133 audit. Again, ENCHI management is responsible for being in compliance with statutes and regulations. It applies to the system's major federal programs, so external auditors would provide an opinion on compliance over those programs and the related internal controls. Most commonly, you'll think of student financial aid. That's the one that's thought of when you think about the scope of the review. Number three is the audit of the financial statements for UNLV Health. The practice plan related to the medical school is set up as a separate not-for-profit corporation. It's a separate audit in an industry with different significant risks to understand, processes to walk through, et cetera. So it requires a different kind of expertise. And number four, agreed-upon procedures to address compliance with the NCAA guidelines for UNR and UNLV. NCAA institutions, they're required to submit financial data detailing operating revenues and expenses related to intercollegiate athletics programs annually. That data is subject to what is known as agreed-upon procedures, which is different than giving an audit opinion. But essentially, it must be performed by a qualified independent accountant. So historically, our external auditors have provided this service as well. So tying this all together, one of the duties of the Audit Compliance and Title IX Committee, as stated in the Board of Regents Handbook, Title I, Article 6, Section 3A, is to recommend to the Board independent certified public accountants to audit the financial books and records of the ENCHI and review and evaluate the reports of such independent certified public accountants. And Chair Arascada, that concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. I do appreciate it. So, once again, I want to say, just following Lauren's, the interim chief auditor's footsteps, I want to say thank you all for attendance today to the Audit Compliance and Title IX Committee. On February 15th, as previously mentioned, February 15th of 2019, the committee held a meeting to select one of three candidates for the external auditor for the system. Today, close to the expiration of this agreement, we'll be selecting one of two presenters today. From what I understand, both presenters are in the room today, and both are there. So I do not have who is going to be going first. So I'm going to go ahead and leave this up to Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp, as she will be providing a little bit more of a pivotal roles played by the internal and external auditors.
So I actually have for the agenda that Grant Thornton will be presenting first. Oh, for the record, Lauren Tripp, Interim Chief Internal Auditor, sorry.
Excellent. So we're going to head over down to agenda item number three for the External Auditor Services, and this is going to be for possible action. So Grant Thornton will be presenting first. Please, will Grant Thornton head on up to the podium and provide their presentation?
Good morning, everyone. For the record, Kim McCormick, audit partner with Grant Thornton. Thank you, Chair Escada, and members of the audit committee for inviting us to be with you here this morning. Before I jump into our presentation, I thought I'd share with you a quick story. I happen to wear another hat where I serve on the audit committee of a very nice organization, and we went through a process not too unlike what you're going through now to select an audit firm. I have to tell you, it's kind of fun for me to be on the other side of the podium for a change, but it was a good experience for me. We interviewed several firms. I will tell you that after the second presentation, it all started to become a blur to me, who said what, and ultimately it sounded like everybody was saying the same thing. And I knew my job as an audit committee member was to really take a good step back and say, what is the right choice for this organization? So what do I need to think about? First of all, do they have the depth and reach to audit my complex organization, in this case, large multi-campus research set of organizations? Do I like them? Are these people I think I can work with? Do I trust them? And ultimately, can they help me? And I will tell you that it's my promise and our promise to all of you that we can check all of those boxes. And ultimately, we're here to serve the Nevada system of higher education and be a helpful service provider. So with that, now in these types of presentations, we naturally talk a lot about us, but I want to pause for a minute and start talking about you, the Nevada system of higher education. Frankly, the quality and the impact of the work we do as external auditors is all the better in the context of your goals, and we have them right up here on the slide. Increasing student success, the continuing raising the bar on the research profile, the current work you're doing with your ad hoc committee on higher education funding. We aim to know what's important to you and make it important to us. That's the link to our promise to be helpful. As part of our service each year, you may recall that my colleague, Matt Unterman, our higher education advisory partner, would speak to this committee and the broader set of regions about trends in higher education and linking those to the very goals that you have. That is our way of fulfilling our promise of being helpful. That's not part of the audit, but it's a way that we like to give back to your organization, and we're thrilled to say that prospectively we will be providing similar kind of guidance. Now, on to our team. So pleased to have with me my esteemed colleagues. I've introduced myself, Kim McCormick. I'm the audit partner in charge of all the audits. I have with me Marla Hummel. Every audit that we conduct has a second partner quality review. Marla Hummel is going to be stepping into that role this year. She is a new member of our team. Matt Unterman, who you've met before, he's addressed this committee, is part of our group. Jody Kimmerly is a senior manager. She works on the uniform guidance, single audit piece of the audit, and Alex Stachkovich, also a senior manager who works on the financial statement part of the audit. The senior group of leaders leads our broader team. We didn't bring them all, but they all send their greetings and their excitement about the potential to continue to work with you folks. I think it's important to note that given the complexity of this audit, it involves a lot of specialists, and we're so pleased to have deep specialists on our team when it comes to things like auditing your IT systems and also your PERS and your pension obligations are such a big piece of your overall financial statements. We're very fortunate to have seasoned actuaries on board in our firm, and they're all part of our global team here to serve you. We thought there were five key areas you'd be interested in hearing about today, and we've organized our presentation around these five areas, with the first being that perfect balance of being a service provider who has the deep familiarity with your organization and also a fresh perspective. our commitment to audit quality and dexterity with respect to issue resolution and nimbleness, our strategic focus in higher education. You'll hear a lot about that today. Our reliable estimate of your investment in working with us, and finally, our commitment to the Nevada system of higher education and the state of Nevada. We're going to start first with just some comments about this topic of the perfect balance in working with a professional service provider, that equilibrium that you look for. First of all, we believe that change is good, and we approach all of our client engagements in that way. Our team incorporates an ideal combination of new team members, bring a fresh perspective. I mentioned my partner, Marla Hummel, who will be joining our team this year, along with several others. And on the other side of that scale is that established relationship, benefiting from the deep knowledge of our team members who have served in SHE for several years, and appreciating how that deep knowledge impacts the fluidity of our client service and, quite frankly, the quality of the audit as well. And looking at balance from another perspective, in the same way that we have been the auditors for Nevada System of Higher Education, the other firm that you'll be speaking with today, I. Bailey, has been the long-term auditors of the state of Nevada. Clearly, Nevada System of Higher Education is one of the largest components of the state of Nevada. And having that separation with two different audit firms involved is another way of ensuring that balance, different sets of eyes on different parts of the state. You never want to be in a position where you have too many audit eggs in one balance and tipping the scale so that balance is off. I'd like to now drill down on the topic of audit quality with the help of my colleague, Marla Hummel.
Good morning, everyone. Marla Hummel with Grant Thornton. As a member of our profession's primary government expert panel, quality is a passion of mine. Quality is critical for many stakeholders, audit committees focused on risk management, management teams, lenders, federal awarding agencies. And as important as quality is, it's really difficult to measure. There is one objective independent measure that I'd like to share with you here today, and that comes from the reviews performed by the PCAOB, one of the primary regulators of our industry. The ratings that you see on the screen relate to our status as one of the top firms for audit quality in recent years among large engagements. Now, these ratings are specific to public companies, and I am by no means trying to imply that NSHE is subject to these regulatory requirements. But we do believe that these scores are indicators and provide some insights into the focus that our firm has on audit quality for all of our clients. Also of note is that our quality has been recognized by other accounting firms. With that, the four largest accounting firms in the United States have selected us and trusted us to perform their peer reviews in recent years. Performing quality audits means making continued investments in audit innovation. And to share a little bit with you about how we bring that innovation to bear to benefit NSHE, I'm going to ask Jody Kimmerly to come forward.
Great. Thank you, Marla. Good morning, everyone. Jody Kimmerly from Grant Thornton. Embracing innovation and utilizing advanced tools are not just buzzwords or theoreticals for us. These tools are in action in our audits now. Thank you. Sorry. These tools are in action in our audits now, and we're adopting more at a very quick pace. And a great example of how we currently use innovation and technology is in whole ledger analytics. We use that software to test journal entries, and that involves putting every journal entry posted by NSHE through 30 different routines so that we can identify those journal entries that stand out and test those in our samples. And we have some new tools that are coming up in 2024. One that we're very excited about is our new tool for confirming alternative investments with fund managers called GT Confirm. GT Confirm digitizes and standardizes confirmations, enabling real-time tracking, and allows us to perform data analysis in less time compared with the traditional manual process. Another tool we will put into play this year, one that your student financial aid employees will be very happy to hear about, is using Data Snipper to extract information from the ICERS, which will create efficiencies in the student financial aid major program audit. These advanced tools have a meaningful impact on how the audit process looks and feels. It's efficient, supports a quality audit effort, and generates insight for our clients that we simply can't get with manual tools. Now I'm going to pass it back to Kim.
Thank you, Jody. Kim McCormick with Grant Thornton. Sticking to the theme of quality, quality also manifests itself in good client service. We've had the pleasure of working shoulder to shoulder with the management team here at INSEE. And as I reflect back on that, with what we've provided here are some examples of how we work well together. And I'm not going to read all these to you. You can read them themselves. But the point here is that there is a way of working together that facilitates being a good partner. A couple of these examples that I really like, in the upper left-hand corner, we work with INSEE's internal audit department, and one of their team members will actually work on our team during the audit. It helps reduce the cost of the audit for INSEE because it takes the place of somebody that would be an employee of Grant Thornton. But just as importantly, it serves as an opportunity to cross-train in the internal department to bring skills and insights in a little bit different way. And so we're thrilled to continue to work that into our process again this year. We also have lots of examples of how we work together with thinking through interesting transactions, thinking about the Sierra Nevada University transaction, UNR's work with Renown and that transaction, UNLV Health and going through their first single audit, the tragic explosion at the dorms in Reno, and some of the accounting implications that went with that. All great examples of how we work together with management to get to the right accounting solution, and most importantly, doing it in a way that's collaborative. We don't want to force accounting opinions on you. We respect your point of view, and our goal is to work with you, not tell you what the answer is and not give you an option. We're going to transition now to Alex, who's going to be sharing with you some background about our higher education and our healthcare practices.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Alex Stashkevich, Senior Audit Manager, Grant Thornton. Our firm's commitment to the higher education sector is reflected by the large number of clients we serve. This commitment includes a high level of active support and participation in key industry conferences, associations, and organizations. Our audit professionals continuously give back to the community and provide complimentary briefings, trainings, webcasts that cover a variety of higher education, healthcare, and uniform guidance topics. As accountants, we are all numbers people. But we also believe in truth in numbers, but more importantly, relevant numbers. To that end, we can share with you that we audit over 200 higher education institutions, which is more than every CPA firm but one. We audit 43% of the U.S. News and World Report best national universities and more than 50% of their top 10 universities. Our audits are of large, multi-campus, decentralized organizations like Nevada System of Higher Education, organizations with significant student financial assistance programs, and large research practices. Our firm's niche is not in auditing in high number of smaller colleges and institutions. Instead, our focus is in working with institutions of the size and complexity of Nevada system of higher education. Similarly, our focus is on larger healthcare entities, many of which are associated with university systems. And with that, I'd like to pass it over to our national advisory partner, Matt Unterman.
Thanks, Alex. For the record, Matt Unterman with Grant Thornton. First of all, nice to see many of you again. It was a pleasure of mine over the past several years to spend time with you all speaking about higher education trends. And as Alex mentioned, that really comes from serving many very large institutions and so many institutions in the world of higher education. We really are a top provider to higher education institutions, from community colleges to large state institutions like you all, to publics, privates, really across the nation. This is an industry. We're not dabbling. We're focused on this industry. It's a core strategic industry of the firm, and we are truly pleased to have had you as a client and to have the opportunity to continue serving you at the firm. I wanted to speak on a couple of slides here. Thought leadership. So we, of course, serve, as Alex said, over 200 institutions on an annual basis from the audit perspective, but we believe in giving back. That's why I came out to serve you and speak to you annually about higher education trends, but we do this through national webcasts. We publish thought leadership. Again, we're not dabbling in this space. We are strategically focused on higher education, and you need to not just walk the walk, but talk the talk and get out there and really give back. When you see what we see in the market, you have to be able to provide guidance to clients and non-clients alike. And that's why we do a battery of thought leadership in this space. And these are really trends that we would put, frankly, on a slide for many institutions. But I was looking through this over the past couple days and realized these are things we've actually talked about. We've talked about these together. We've talked about the idea of student success. We've talked about business process reengineering, IT, cyber, student retention, mental health of students, all kinds of things that are important not just to the industry but also to you all. This is, again, a thing we do. We give back. We give back to the industry. We give back to you, and we plan to do so. This is a troubling time in higher education. We're coming out of a pandemic. There's a lot of upside opportunity for institutions such as ENSHE, but there's a lot of risk out there. And our recommendation to you as a client is to work with a provider that's a leader in this space and that will continue serving you through what should be some challenging times ahead for the industry, but also opportunities for great places like ENSHE to continue being successful and serve the state. As you can see, we serve, these are many institutions that we serve, but only a select few. As Alex mentioned, it's community colleges, large state institutions like yourselves. We have places like the City University of New York with over 20 institutions in its portfolio, multi-campus institutions, public, private, from Baylor to Connecticut State University to, of course, you all, to New Jersey Institute of Technology, really across the entire nation. We are leaders in this space. We're excited to serve you on a going forward basis. Thanks for the opportunity, and I look forward to coming back annually to continue talking about trends in the industry. Turn it over to Kim.
Thank you, Matt. Once again, Kim McCormick with Grant Thornton. You may be interested to know that when we look at the overall effort, audit effort each year, actually a full 50% of it falls in the area of the uniform guidance audit. This is the compliance audit for your federal grants and contracts. And we thought this visual would be interesting to you. Every year, Nevada system has a spend of federal dollars of $722 million, a very large amount. This is a very complex, big uniform guidance audit. And we've listed here some other entities and universities that show our experience working with organizations of this size when it comes to your federal expenditure profile. I will mention that of all CPA firms, we audit more federal dollars than all but one other firm. Our members of our team do this day in and day out. The programs that you have are the programs that we know. Student financial assistance, your big research and development cluster, your TRIO cluster, Gear Up, et cetera. all the federal awards that came in as a result of the COVID pandemic. I wear a hat at the firm where I'm a subject matter expert in this area, work with a lot of the federal agencies, including the Department of Education, to bring the latest and greatest information to you folks, and we'll be delighted to continue to do so. So let's talk about value. When we responded to your request for a proposal, one of the questions that we had when coming up with our fee quotation is, where would you like the work to be done? Would you like it to be all on site, some off-site, completely off-site? And the answer back was, it's a bit of a mix. But there's probably some hybrid mix that makes the most sense. So why don't you, as a proposer, give us a couple options just so we can see what the price differentials are. So that's why you see three different fee quotes here. This is just for 2024, the upcoming audit, but wanted to give you some context. The price differential is really just a difference in travel costs. Not a big difference, but I love the idea of working in person. And even if it's not 100% of the time, there's nothing like working directly with people and making the audit process all the better that becomes of it. Irrespective of which three option or any other option that makes the most sense for you, that investment delivers the capabilities that you see over on the right-hand side of the slide. The largest firms in the world have great attributes. The second-tier firms do. The very small firms have great attributes. But we see us being a great mix of the best of all of those firms. And finally, as we wrap up here, I just want to recommit or mention our commitment to Nevada System of Higher Education and also working in the state of Nevada. Our footprint includes 100 clients here, 150 personnel working throughout the state. It has been our honor and our pleasure to work with the Nevada System of Higher Education. Simply said, we love working with you, and we would love to continue to work with you. And with that, that really wraps up our formal comments. This final slide just brings us back where we started with those five key themes. But I think we'll pause at this point and be happy to answer any questions that the committee has.
Thank you, Ms. McCormick. Really appreciate that presentation. I'm going to go ahead and forward this over to the dais in regards to questions. And I believe Regent Del Carlo has a couple. Please, Regent Del Carlo.
Thank you, Chair Arascata. What proactive approach will you be able to provide the Nevada System of Higher Education to ensure adequate communication and status updates are provided to individual campus representatives?
Thank you for the question, Kim McCormick, for the record. A good quality audit where we have a lot of good project management involves having excellent communications. And the whole idea with what is excellent is defining that up front with all parties involved. Is that a weekly status meeting? Is that a formal entrance conference and exit conference for each stage of work that we do? What's very interesting about working with a decentralized organization like the system here is that you're working with lots of different parties who don't always work with other parties in the organization. So we may have a conversation with one group, but that doesn't necessarily get communicated to the other group unless we initiate that conversation. So really sticking to a great protocol of defining what expectations are up front, delivering on those expectations, and communicating throughout the process so that everybody is on the same page. That's our commitment.
Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Del Carlo. Forward it over to Regent Boylan.
Thanks, Chair. I appreciate it. I had three questions, if you'll bear with me, or just 3 points. Number one, you said, one of you ladies said, Nan, every audit entry is checked by 30 something?
Yeah, that this is a process that we review to look at journal entries, and we have a proprietary system where we run every journal entry through a routine, through our software, to look for relationships. Does the debit-credit combination make sense? Does the description on the journal entry make sense? Does the day of the week make sense? Does it make sense that somebody's posting on a Sunday? The idea is that that process susses out those journal entries that might stick out for one reason or another, and then when we go to test, that's where we're going to focus our efforts, as opposed to flipping through a binder of journal entries and hoping to find something interesting. It's really a way to take technology to make processes more efficient, more effective, and share better insights with our clients.
Thank you. Number two, you said something about student financial aid gets better. What does that mean? How does it get better? The young lady behind you, I think, said that. Something about, yeah, was it you?
The iceberg.
Right. That's another, Jody, feel free to chime in. But,
it gets better, yeah. I like it.
The process of stripping data out of ICERS, which is a form used in student financial aid, can be very time-consuming and cumbersome. What we've developed is a new tool using technology data snipper to pull that data out faster, do some recalculations that in the old days, last year, would have been manual. So it's again, it's about efficiency and accuracy.
Thank you. Last one, sir. You said it's something about saving money for ENSHI. I'm all about saving money for ENSHI. So if you say that, what exactly do you mean?
Well, you know, our estimate of fees is based on what we know about the hours of working with ENSHI. We're very confident about that. And so the question becomes, is there a way to reduce hours? And one of the ways we've been able to do that successfully is take a chunk of those hours, I think we've estimated 200, and instead of having our team do them, have your internal audit team do that work under our supervision. And that way we don't charge you for those 200 hours. So you get the benefit of the savings, but also the benefit of the cross-training and the collaboration working together between the organizations.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Sure.
Thank you, Regent Boyd. Let's go over to Regent Cruz Crawford, please.
Good morning, everybody. Regent Cruz Crawford for the record. Thank you. I appreciate the presentation. My question is, I have a few. The first item is obviously auditing is very, very important for oversight to make sure that we are doing what we need to do by way of our institutions and our students and staff. You kept mentioning another firm as you are the second, I guess, have the most clients, institutions. Who was the first firm?
Oh, and the comment was about another firm auditing, one other firm auditing more higher education than us, and that firm is actually KPMG. They're if you're familiar with the term, a big four accounting firm.
Okay, perfect. And then, what is the actual? I really like the ways we can save some money with billing some of our hours, even though our audit team is very small, so we have to be respectful of that time as well. In regards to, you know, automating and using online programs, are there any online programs that you're using for auditing that will cut out some of those billable hours or that you're piloting?
Some of the, most of the new tools that we're implementing help streamline our efforts. So those are built in. We plan on using those. Those aren't theoreticals for us. We're using them now, and we'll continue to use them as new tools are developed. So those are built into our audit proposal, and it's saving money. That's true. It's also precision. It's good quality, but also it delivers insights for our clients, and we look forward to providing those as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to learn more about those processes when we have more time. I do appreciate, you know, trying to find ways to save some money. Obviously, this is expensive work, but it's very important. The list of institutions that you support around the United States are pretty impressive. I did look at your board members, and one of the things that, you know, I always try to keep an eye on is diversity within the staff. And as we are looking at, you know, servicing institutions that are very diverse within the state of Nevada, within your staff, I don't see as much diversity. Do you have any diversity initiatives or hiring practices that you're working in within your own organization?
Indeed, we do. You may have noticed in our proposal, we devoted quite a bit of time to that and also provided a link to our firm's own DEI report out. We report out annually to the community and our clients on our efforts and how we're doing on our goals. How we bring ourselves to work, how we can show up at work, means all the difference in terms of the happiness of our employees and also being reflective of the clients we serve and their particular demographics, excuse me. We're very, very pleased with our results. If you look at our board of directors of our firm, we have just elected our first woman president of our firm's board of directors. And I would say we have a good number of women serving on our board of directors and in leadership positions across the firm.
I really believe, especially with auditing, you know, it's really important that we have a diversity of culture and thought and experiences and race. So I appreciate that focus, and I hope to see those trends up. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Regent Cruz Crawford. Get ahead over to Regent Brager, please.
Thank you for your presentation today. Mine is going to be more on your fee. Looking at all three of those, from the all-inclusive, not coming here at all, to the 20% to the 80%, it's from the least expensive to the most expensive, a $48,000 difference. What, in your experience, not being here at all versus to spending 80% of the time on site, how do you feel that differential makes a difference in the audit itself?
Yeah, that's a great question, because the cost differential is not terribly significant. It's a matter of travel, right? But we're in the relationship business, and we are professional service providers. So to be able to look someone in the eye, sit down and have a conversation together, see the operation, really benefits our understanding of the auditing that we're doing. I mentioned at the outset, we look to understand what's important to you and making it important to us, and being able to work side by side, shoulder to shoulder, helps that tremendously. So I'm a big fan of on-site work, and I'm hearing that from Nevada System as well. It's just a matter of how much you would like. Any scenario works for us.
Okay. Follow-up question to that, if that's okay, Chair. In regards to the third proposal for the $1,200,000, I'll just call it that, is someone here throughout the whole audit process, or how many people are here?
Well, we have a very big team. You probably remember that big organizational
right.
chart I showed, and that's not even everyone. And so all in, there are probably 40 members of our team. And if we were all on site at the same time, it would be 40 people. The practical reality is we work the audit in a way where it's staggered. Different pieces happen at different times. And we also want to be respectful of what each individual institution would like. But hopefully that gives you some sort of context in terms of numbers of people.
So the four, and I'm sorry, I'm just like numbers are
yeah.
kind of my thing. So the 48,000 is for travel or for them staying here? Because it isn't... It might not be a big difference to your firm. To us, that would do a lot for students. So are your fees negotiable? I'm bold.
we are always in a position to negotiate.
So
this isn't our best and final offer.
This is your best and final
no,
offer?
No, this is not our best
not,
and
okay,
final offer.
That's what I wanted
yeah.
to know.
And again, you had asked us, give us some ideas.
No,
so
that's
these
great.
That was kind of the spirit in which we provided it.
Well, I want
ideas.
The best for
yeah.
the least.
Yeah.
That's how I work. So, okay, that gives me a lot of information. I appreciate that. So when a final, whether it's you or someone else, that's where I would be coming from, because I feel like that money is important to us. We want the best audit for the least price, of course, and the best for our whole team, and I will take that into consideration.
All right, very
good. Thank you.
And for me, segueing off of Regent Brager's initial question, on cell or line F40 of your proposal, there are not travel expenditures listed on the spreadsheet. Is that cumulative, the proposal in which you all have? Or will Grant Thornton be providing the travels free, their travels free of charge?
Thank you for the question. I don't have the cell number in front of me, but what I will mention about the spreadsheets is that there's three of them that we provided to align with each of the three options. Or examples, I should say, and one of those examples assumed no travel. And so that's probably where you're seeing zero travel in that particular example.
Okay. And once again, segueing off of Regent Brager's second question, during your proposal in 2019, the external auditor selection, the Audit Compliance and Town and Land Committee, it was stated by you, is that the audit world is changing and at a very fast pace, and the tools and technology to us today were not available just a year ago, which would have been 2018. My question is, have the tools and technology evaporated, ensuring reasonable fees?
Tools and technology have definitely not evaporated. In fact, they are increasing in use. All the tools that we mentioned when we had this conversation with you last time are in play in our audits. As I mentioned, these are not theoreticals. Our firm develops these tools at a fast pace, and all of those that are applicable to a financial and compliance audit like this, we are pulling in and working into our process.
Okay. Grant Thornton has been the auditor for the system of higher education going on multiple years. I can't even express how many years. With this re-proposal, what will Grant Thornton provide this go-around that the system has not received?
Great question. So I mentioned a couple times, our goal is to find out what's important to you and make it important to us. We never want to assume. So part of the beginning of every audit is just a kind of a refresh. You know, what went well in the past? What could go better in the future? How do we want to communicate? You've had changeover in your schools, different people who may have preferences that were different than their counterpart 2 years ago. So it's all about communicating what those expectations are and delivering on them. If we want to hear from Matt Unterman 2 times a year instead of 1 time a year, hey, let's talk about doing that. If we want to have a session on the next new accounting pronouncement, let's do that. These are all things that we're delighted to be able to offer, and we just want to make sure that what we're offering is consistent with your expectations.
Excellent. Last question. What level of involvement could our or would our internal auditors be able to provide to offset some of the costs?
We talked about this a couple of cases. We've actually built that into our fees. We picked a number, 200 hours. So, for example, if the internal audit team wants to spend 200 hours on our team, and we, in turn, move that 200 hours off our own books, that is just a fantastic example. Now, the number doesn't have to be 200 hours. It can be 300 hours. It can be 400 hours. Keeping in mind that there's a balance that group has, too. But I think that's a fantastic opportunity and one that's a proven one here that works well.
Excellent. Are there any more questions from the dais?
Susan Brager.
Any more questions?
Okay.
Yes, please, Regent Brager.
Thank you. So, in a follow-up to that, what you just said, the 200, the 300 hours, are you able to propose how many hours? I know you had to do something on your fee for hours. How many hours do you actually spend on our audit, you know, approximately? I didn't know if I saw that anywhere.
Yeah, it's there in the spreadsheet, I know it's a big, busy spreadsheet. But
yeah, I did read everything.
Yeah, in the aggregate, hours are 7,560. And that tracks well with our experience, and it tracks well with our expectations for the future.
I thought I remembered 7-something, but yeah. It was a lot to read. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Chair Scott, this is Regent Del Carlo. I have another question.
Yes, ma'am. Please go ahead.
Since we're talking so much about the costs and we know everything's gone up, I listened on Monday to the Higher Funding Formula Committee about our utilities just going skyrocketing. In fact, it was even in the paper down here this morning. But this question is, let me find it back where I put it. Oh, for our external audit professional fees, the bids are almost double for this year. Considering inflation, what other items attribute to this price disparity?
You mean compared to 5 years ago?
Yeah. Things are.
It's a different world than it was 5 years ago, doubt about it.
Thank you.
I think what you'll notice, though, is that the hours estimate is right about the same. And so the difference is in the rates, right? And so really it's just a matter of how the world has changed, the economy has changed. The cost of hiring the great people that we have are costs that are a part of our delivery. So that's really it. It's the cost of labor and inflation.
Chair, if I could have one more question. This is Susan Brager. Sorry.
Right ahead, Ms. Brager.
In regards to what you said, that in if one of our employees, depending on what our auditor felt, they could let them spend with you, where does that come into a cost factor that it diminishes that cost?
So it's just a matter of simple math. So let's say we take that 200 hours and we multiply that by a blended rate of $155 an hour, and that would be the delta.
That's what I thought. I had 160. Maybe I did it wrong, but thanks.
And Regent Cruz Crawford.
Thank you so much, sir. So can we have the, just for the audience, for everybody on board, Regent Cruz Crawford for the record, so the total cost for this service?
It's three different things.
Yeah. So just to make sure I understand the question, the total cost for a year, the total cost over the course of the five years of the contract?
Yeah, the total cost of the five-year contract.
Okay. So what I'll do just for ease, because remember we gave you kind of three different examples, I'll give you the first example. And over the course of the 5 years, the total fees are $6.4 million.
Thank you so much. So I just wanted that said, so when we look at the next one, everybody that doesn't weed through all the comments, a lot of our participants don't have that number, so they can just compare apples to apples. Thank you.
Well put. Any other questions for the dais or online? Or none heard. We're just going to take a quick 5-minute break while the presenters switch locations, and we'll be back at 9:58. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you. Pleasure meeting with you all.
Representative Samide Bailey, I do appreciate your patience throughout this process as the board takes their seats. Please introduce yourselves and begin.
Good morning, and thank you to the committee and chair for inviting us to present to you all today. My name is Kurt Schlicker, partner with Ide Bailey, for the record. I make my home in Reno and spend all of my professional time serving governments, 100% of the time. I also have the pleasure of serving as the chair of our Single Audit Technical Issues Committee, which leads the firm through our Single Audit Practice Guidance. I'll quickly turn it over to Tiffany to introduce herself.
Hi, my name is Tiffany Williamson, for the record. I'm an audit partner in the Reno office. I have over 20 years of experience in public accounting and specialize in auditing the government and nonprofit industries with significant experience in higher education. Thank you.
Good morning, committee members. My name is Renee Gravelin, for the record. I'm an audit partner in the healthcare practice. I work with both government and nonprofit hospitals and health systems nearly 100% of my time. I am also a member of our healthcare technical issues committee, similar to what Kurt does with the single audits. I also work in the single audit space simply because many of our healthcare organizations do have government grants, especially recently with the COVID money that had come in. I am also a past member of the AICPA's healthcare expert panel, and I am still involved in that group as what's known as an interested party, meaning I still participate in that group. And I'm currently serving as a member of the GASB subcommittee with the expert panel.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to meet all of you. For the record, my name is Jody Doherty. I have been in the government industry my whole career. About 15 years ago, I added higher education as one of my focuses within the government industry. I am also the partner in charge of Ide Bailey's $60 million government practice. My role on this engagement team will be to connect the resources of our government practice as a whole with the needs of the NSHE team. I will also provide my higher education knowledge to the engagement teams as they are out in the field. And now I will turn it over to Kurt to get us started.
Again, Kurt Schlicker, partner with Ide Bailey, for the record, and thank you, Jody. Presented before the committee is a snapshot of our high-level statistics. Serving clients for more than 100 years, top 25 CPA firm, 40-plus offices, 3,000 partners and staff, and over $600 million in net fees. However, I would like to spend a moment to highlight our Nevada presence. We think it's very important. We have 19 partners, 90 senior managers and managers, and 133 staff in Nevada. That is 242 people making their homes here in the state, conveniently located in Reno, Elko, and Las Vegas, within minutes of the system's institutions. However, these are just statistics. Both firms presenting to you today have these statistics. Otherwise, we wouldn't be qualified to present to you all today. Both firms have technology. We have Data Snipper. We have SureLink. We have a journal entry tool where we run it through the software as well. That's not a differentiation between firms, at least the top firms in the marketplace today. What we believe is our differentiation and what we want to give the committee a sense of today is who we are and what we love to do. Said another way, what is our culture? A cornerstone of our culture is client service. Now, again, client service is a buzzword, and every professional CPA firm is going to say that client service is important to them. However, expressing what client service means to us and how it impacts the relationship with NSHE, we think will illustrate our culture. Client service means a high-level manager and partner involvement, which you can see through our planned hours and our higher weighted average of partner and manager participation. This higher expertise leverage model is not lip service. Our partners and managers are on site during the audit, supervising staff, handling audit questions, and meeting with management throughout the process to ensure an effective and efficient quality audit. We don't stay in our offices, ask our staff to complete the work, and then review the work within days of the deadline and just hope we don't find anything significant that drops a bomb at the end. We are engaged throughout the whole process face-to-face. I understand that some firms and clients may prefer a remote approach. However, our experience has shown that we find this remote approach leads to a transactional relationship between auditor and auditee. That transactional relationship turns the audit into a commodity without much value add. We believe in building a strong professional relationship in order to engage everyone in the process, and again, to ensure quality in the audit. In addition, we believe in being available throughout the year, and we really do mean available. That's not just part of the audit, it's throughout the course of the year. We have no problems with impromptu meetings, whether remote or face-to-face as needed. Again, we are minutes away. This client-centric methodology would not work without a team approach. We introduced ourselves earlier, and there are four partners here before you all to serve the system, working together as a team, not only within our engagement team, but also with management. We do not believe in gotcha auditing. We believe in honest, upfront communication so that there are no surprises. We work together to accomplish the goals and objectives with each other, inclusive of the team and management. We strategize on a tailored client service team to serve our clients as a whole, not just as part of the audit, but as part of the overall relationship, so that there is value add in that relationship. Now, you may be wondering, how do we carry out this client service? We carry out this client service through our commitment to these key areas. You will be served primarily from highly qualified local professionals. This local support provides for upfront, face-to-face communication, as well as effective and efficient time management that the system deserves. This also speaks to our commitment to the system and the community. We are members of the community, and a majority of the engagement team graduated from institutions within the system. We are part of the communities in which we serve, and we care deeply about serving our clients within the places we call home. However, we are not just a local firm that's taken a shot. We understand that the system is a big and large organization. We are a full-service national firm. We are supported by our management and industry leaders from a full top-down approach. This leads to an engagement team with qualified local professionals supported by national resources working together to create a professional relationship, not only as your auditor, but also as your advocate where appropriate. I will now turn it over to Tiffany to provide some more details on the team.
Thanks, Kurt. On this slide, you can see the team we have specifically designed for NCHI at the partner and manager levels based on our prior experience and specializations. Just as the prior presenter noted, there will be several other members of our team. We will also have an engagement quality reviewer from our National Assurance Office who specializes in the government industry. We'll also use our Risk Advisory Services Group to perform testing over information technology controls. And the seniors and associates that will be on the team will be primarily from our Nevada offices and will have experience in the government industry as well. Kurt discussed our high level of partner and manager involvement, and we are planning that 30% of the total hours on this engagement would come from this group of people you see on the slide, the partners and managers. Additionally, we anticipate approximately 6,000 of our total 6,800-hour estimate will come from staff within the state of Nevada. This is intentional, as part of our audit approach is to perform a majority of the fieldwork on-site, including the partners and managers. We will be in meetings and working in the fields with our teams and management at each institution. With this high level of partner and manager time, we commit to strong communication to ensure issues are identified and addressed timely and efficiently and your deadlines are met. The four of us here today and everyone on the slide has worked together significantly over the past several years, and we believe that with our experience, commitment to NCHI, and industry expertise, we have what you are looking for in an audit firm. This is important because we know that changing auditors is a big decision, and it can mean additional time spent on your part in the initial year. Our team will help make an auditor transition as smooth as possible based on our ongoing experience with NCHI, some of which I would like to just take a minute in detail right now. Personally, I previously worked on the NCHI audit for 9 years, during which time I visited every institution and worked with NCHI staff in the controller's offices, sponsored projects, financial aid, athletics, and system administration. As a senior manager and the overall senior manager on this audit, I'm very excited about the possibility of serving NSHE again as an engagement partner. I also currently serve as the audit partner on the UNR Foundation and Wolfpack Athletic Association audits, supported by Chris McCarthy as the engagement manager. He will also be one of the managers on this team. Tehani Hunt, who you see here, will also be a manager on this engagement, and she previously served on the NSHE audit for 3 years as a staff and senior associate. Some other experience includes Kurt, who you just heard from, is the audit partner for the state of Nevada. And in recent years, he's been involved in facilitating communication between the state and NSHE to resolve issues and work together. He also previously was the partner on the Sierra Nevada University audit, and both he and I work closely with UNR and UNR Foundation management to ensure the accounting for the acquisition was done correctly by all parties involved. Not only do we have this experience with NSHE, but our Nevada government audit practice currently serves 51 government entities in the state. These include the state of Nevada, Clark County School District, Washoe County, and the city of Henderson. We have the institutional knowledge to develop our audit plan quickly, including understanding significant accounting issues, determining significant institutions for detailed testing, designing analytical procedures, and using sampling efficiently. However, we also bring a fresh perspective to the system that is rooted in our firm culture, approach to our audits, and relationship building. And this isn't just applicable to our Nevada offices. As Kurt mentioned, we are also supported with firm-wide resources and expertise, of which Renee and Jody are here to speak to. So with that, I will turn it over to Jody.
Thanks, Tiffany, for sharing about the team that will be working on this engagement. Jody Doherty, for the record. So now I want to shift the focus to Ida Bailey's government and healthcare practices as a whole. They are two of Ida Bailey's largest and most mature industry practices. And these practices will be supporting the NSHE team and NSHE itself. So first, let's talk about the government practice. Our government practice serves a wide range of governments, from large states to colleges and universities to small special districts. These 1,300 governments are served by 45 partners and around 300 dedicated governmental staff. Because of the depth of our government practice, we are heavily involved in the organizations that you can see on the slide there. And those organizations support our practice as well as support the clients we serve. Personally, I had the opportunity to serve on the AICPA's GAQC Executive Committee, and I got to serve with Kim McCormick. She was the lead of that committee, and it was a fabulous experience. But I know involvement in these organizations is not unique to Ida Bailey. Most of the top firms participate to some degree in these organizations. But this involvement does allow us to have depth to our government practice to fully support NSHE. Also, because of the depth and maturity of our practice, we provide resources to our clients through webinars on upcoming GASB standards. We have webinars specific to institutions of higher education. We publish articles on industry happenings throughout the year, and we have internal resources that can answer any question your team might have. But what sets us apart in this situation is we also have a local presence and a local team that is supported by the full resources of our firm and our industry practices. Because of this linkage between national involvement, the resources our industry creates and shares with our clients, and our local presence, your NSHE team was invited to attend our in-person trainings back in December that we hosted both in Reno and in Las Vegas. All of this leads to a cohesive team dedicated to providing the best possible service for NSHE. So now Renee is going to talk a little bit about Ida Bailey's healthcare industry and the value that our industry knowledge will add to our engagement team.
Thank you, Jody. Again, Renee Gravelin, Ida Bailey Audit Partner. I was asked to be part of this team because of my significant healthcare experience. as well as my experience with other Nevada hospitals. My involvement with the other Nevada hospitals and healthcare facilities has allowed me to understand the unique landscape that Nevada hospitals have, including Nevada Medicaid. I've also had the opportunity to work directly with Kurt on some audits, as well as other staff within the Nevada offices, so that I've already been exposed to them. As Jody mentioned, healthcare is one of our largest industries within Ide-Bailey. The 3,300 healthcare clients that we are served by approximately 350 partners and staff who are solely dedicated to the healthcare industry. This has allowed us to get the right talent and experience involved based on client needs, regardless of where they're located, and then, as Jody mentioned, to support the local offices. Our healthcare team meets periodically to share experiences and information across the firm. We also have healthcare industry consultants and experts on staff who are available to meet with our audit teams and talk about changes in the healthcare industry that will impact the audit. They are also a valuable resource when analyzing complex transactions, as well as being available to discuss Medicare and Medicaid changes and regulations that will impact the audit, and assisting with a wide variety of other healthcare specific items, which is invaluable to both us as the audit team as well as the clients we serve. Working closely with our industry experts and all of our healthcare professionals across the firm has allowed us to develop a very thorough understanding of the healthcare industry. We have used this knowledge to develop very industry-specific expectations and develop very strong analytical procedures, which have helped us to streamline the audit process. We know when it makes sense to use analytical procedures, or when we have to use maybe a different approach, or if something's not working because we're in the field, we can quickly pivot to try a different approach. So in other words, we focus our attention on areas that have more audit risk, are more subjective in nature, such as the many estimates that come along with healthcare accounting and auditing, and have our more experienced staff work on those more complicated areas. We train our staff to focus on those key areas and ensure that when we are requesting information, we're tailoring it to your organization so that there's not a lot of back and forth. We also have a platform that allows us to ask and answer questions within the schedule request rather than having a lot of emails, which sometimes isn't the best, they get lost, to make sure we're getting the information we need. This high level of manager and partner involvement, as I said, really does help. One, we train our staff, you don't have to, as well as we can pivot quickly and maybe design a different test or get more information. We will stop, take a step back, and say, how else could we approach this? We'll get management involved to see if there is a different way. One of the complexities within the healthcare area is some of the reporting, some of the information we get. As you know, you don't pay what you get billed, and so it does become very complicated. This process of taking the step back and really looking at it again, maybe with a fresh set of eyes, isn't unique to our healthcare practice. This would include our government practices as well as our higher education practice. We believe our industry knowledge and experience are very important to serving you, but who we are as a firm is equally important. So now I'm going to turn it back over to Jody to talk about our DEI journey.
Thank you, Renee. Jody Doherty from Ide-Bailey for the record. We thought we would just give you a brief overview of our DEI initiative at our firm. DEI at a firm our size cannot succeed without the right tone at the top. I have been on Ide-Bailey's board of directors for the past 5 years, and I can tell you that this initiative is very important to the leadership of Ide-Bailey. With the help of outside consultants, we created the 4 employee resource groups that you see on the screen there. As a side note, I thought it might be of interest to you that one of the original members of the DEI Council that launched this program a few years ago is also the partner in charge of our Nevada practice. Also one of the team members on this engagement leads one of these ERGs. So we have a firm-wide DEI day every year where the whole practice shuts down and we all come together remotely. We have outside external speakers come in and talk to us about diversity, equity, and inclusion. But we also get to hear from various members who are part of these groups. And this year we got to hear about the positive impact that membership and participation in these ERGs has on them personally and on their career at Ide Bailey. I participate in the Women Empowered ERG, and it's just really refreshing to watch women of all ages, all job descriptions, coming together and supporting each other, encouraging each other, and we're actually learning together how to be successful in life, both personally and professionally. As a firm, we believe this is part of why we've seen a high retention rate over the last couple of years. I will be happy to answer any additional questions you might have on our DEI program, but for now, I'm going to turn it back over to Kurt for some closing remarks.
Thank you. Kurt Schlicker, partner with Ide Bailey, for the record. We've spent our presentation highlighting our culture and how that is demonstrated through our commitment to client service and a team approach. We designed our engagement team, our proposal, hours, and fees with this high expertise leverage model in mind. We believe in quality over quantity. We understand that changing audit firms is not to be taken lightly. However, we strongly feel that we offer the right mix of qualifications and passion for what we do to help ease this transition process and to lead to something special. We pride ourselves on the three pillars you see before you. We want you to feel understood, we want you to feel connected to us, and we want you to feel confident in us to serve you. These pillars meet in what we call the client experience, one built on value, trust, and results. Again, we appreciate the committee's time this morning and the opportunity to present before you, and we would be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Kurt and I, Bailey, for the entire presentation. We're going to start off with the questions through Regent Cruz Crawford.
Hello, sir. I'm forming a couple more of my questions in my head. Can we? Can I have someone else go first?
I believe so. I am going to forward it over to Regent Del Carlo.
You caught me with my mouth full of water. Thank you, Chair Escada. I'll ask the same question I asked the other group. What proactive approach will you be able to provide the Nevada System of Higher Education to ensure adequate communication and status updates are provided to individual campus representatives?
Yeah, we don't believe in just having kind of like that field work and touch point at the audit time period. We schedule meetings throughout the year. We have, depending on the client, either monthly or quarterly meetings to say, how are things going? Some are not audit related. Some are more just tell us how your year is going so far. So we meet with management quite frequently, and this is done at a manager and a partner level. So it's the highest level of the engagement team communicating, not a senior associate sending an email and say, how's the year going? It's a meeting where partners and managers will meet with management to get a feel for how things are going. It's done throughout the whole year.
Okay, and are those like face-to-face then?
Usually face-to-face, but if it needs to be remote, it certainly can be. But again, we're minutes away from the institution, so it does not matter. We can be face-to-face.
Okay, thank you.
Regent Brager.
Thank you, Susan Brager, for the record. I'm going to ask this question, so I'm trying to want to be equitable to both firms. Even I'm in real estate, I never can figure out if I should go first or last, like find out when that appointment should be. You state, and if I'm wrong, I was looking at your documentation on fees and hours. Is it that I'm looking at it correctly and you do about 2,950 hours is what it takes for the full audit? Because I couldn't get them whether I should add them up correctly, so I want to ask you what it is.
Yeah, so our total hours, and I apologize, I don't have it before me, is a little over 6,800 total hours for the whole engagement. I think that's similar to the 7.4-ish range that the other firm had. Our decrease, our less hours, is really, we feel, reflective from our higher leverage model. We staff the job with more partner time and more senior manager time. And so that leads to some audit efficiencies that reduces that hour workload and component.
Okay, and I want to make sure that I'm equitable. From your low fee to your higher fee, the differential would be what? I mean, why would we, you know, you give two different fees. We would want the best no matter what, and you're here in the state. So tell me, if we went with your first option, that total fee that you have there, what's missing from the second one? I keep going back and forth, and it's easier for me to ask.
Yeah, I apologize, and maybe the spreadsheet's confusing. We have one fee. There's the original fee, and then there's, I think, in that spreadsheet, other fees or other things like travel and other types of fees that get added to a total inclusive fee. So our total inclusive fee is that bottom fee. What I'll say towards fee for now is that we anticipate the audit taking over 6,800 hours. If, for whatever reason, it takes less, whether through the involvement of internal audit or technology or whatever happens, it takes less, we'll work with management to adjust the bill accordingly for that weighted average and that leverage model. So, you know, if the audit takes 6,000 hours, you won't be billed for 6,800 hours.
Of course. And then a follow-up to that then, if that's okay, Chair Arascata. Okay. If you, in determining your hours, if you needed more hours, as it goes back to negotiations or you've not gone over, and you've worked with, I went through both of these, and I don't want to, it's easy to mix them up of who said what to where. The other biggest group you've worked with is what, did you say?
Yes, Kurt Schlicker, for the record. I am the audit partner on the state of Nevada.
Okay.
And it's actually provides a unique benefit, I believe, to NG. Those audits take place in different times of the year.
Of course.
So I just want to make that clear that they are in different times of the year. And there's many times where the NG and the state's controller's office needs to come together to discuss an issue, figure out something pertinent. And I'm really able to act as a bridge between the two entities so that it's not the state and the state's auditor thinking one thing, arguing with NG and the NG's auditor. It's really the three parties coming together, me being an independent advocate of both, saying, hey, let's just figure out what we think is the right answer and working together. And so that is our state of Nevada experience. It's also a job that's over 6,000 hours, so we do have experience with large jobs like this.
And if our auditor to work with you, is that a differential also in the price point that you give?
Yeah, like I said, if the internal audit department works with us, you know, we do not have the experience that Grant does working with your internal audit experience because they've been your auditors for, you know, 15 years.
Okay.
But we would work with internal audit. We develop a plan. We'd work and say, okay, what do you currently have on your plate? How much time do you have to dedicate to us? We'll work through that, and then we'll make adjustments as necessary from there.
Okay. And then you have a team that's already in Las Vegas, but it might not necessarily be the team that works with NG?
No. Our over 6,000 of the hours, of the 6,800 hours in our proposal, will be staffed from Nevada, Vegas, and Elko offices. We're going to staff it with local professionals supported by industry expertise or knowledge that we need. You know, Renee brings such a great healthcare background that putting her in charge of the UNLV health audit just makes sense. That's her bailiwick. That's her expertise.
Right.
But we will staff. Thank you. We will staff approximately 6,000 hours of the total engagement team out of Vegas, Reno, and Elko with our local staff.
Right. So your travel would be, and I'll relook at that. But thank you for those answers. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Regent Brager. We're going to stick to the dais and head over to Regent Boylan. Sir, please go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate it. Regent Brager had two wonderful questions because I had the same, so they must be wonderful. But I had one or two more, if that's okay, Chair. The first one was... The last group said that every audit entry is checked by 30 different thingamabobs, whatever, I forget the word. Do you guys do that? Do you
folks to? So, you know, much of the technology that the previous firm presented, we share and we have. We have Data Snipper. We take the ICERs off as well, populate the spreadsheets. We check the Pell tables. We do all of that as well. We have a journal entry software that we run all the journal entries through that look for odd relationships, weird credits of, or weird combinations of debits and credits or weird terminology. So, yes, we share that same technology. And being truthful, it's not really a differentiation between the two firms. We all both have that technology.
That's awesome. Last question, Chair. They mentioned something about student financial aid gets better. Would you guys make it better too? Or, and how much better?
So, again, we are using that technology and Data Snipper. Student financial aid used to be very difficult and very manual because you would take a lot of student records and have to populate and compare those student records to a lot of different data points. So that used to be a very significantly manual process filled with a lot of back and forth. The use of technology has allowed us to do a lot of technology matching between those records to take out some of that manual process. It's still reviewed, but that manual process is lessened. And so that, I believe, is what they were alluding to. And what we do as well is trying to automate some of that manual record matching in student financial aid.
Thank you so much. Wonderful presentation. And I apologize for missing some of it, but I got the gist of it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, Regent Boyle. Let's head back over to Regent Cruz Crawford, please.
Thank you, Chair Escada. Regent Cruz Crawford, for the record. I, too, am trying to be equitable in my questioning as we are, you took the time, two firms, to share your business model and recommendations. So I was going to ask the diversity question because I also noticed that the board was not as diverse, but you did share the work that you're doing toward that. So I really appreciate that work. And I did look at that number one firm that was mentioned, and they are also a board that looks similar. So kind of comparing apples to apples to apples. So thank you. My question is in regard to what is the overall cost for the 5-year?
Yeah, so our overall cost is about 7.2. We understand that this is a little bit higher than the previous firm. The reason for that is our higher leverage model. Again, we believe in managers and partners being on site, working together with management. We don't believe in using ENSHI as a training ground. We train our staff, but we train our staff and we're out there with them working together. We believe we add a value add. We don't treat the audit like a commodity. We treat it like a full relationship. And so part of building that relationship is including managers and partners at a much higher participation rate. And that's the reason for the increased weighted average rate, essentially, offset by less hours. So it comes out to the fee that you see before you, which is inclusive, by the way, of the travel costs.
Thank you, sir. So I just to put everything into perspective, looking at the two firms, yours would be $7.2 million inclusive of travel costs, and then $6.4 million for the other one. But I do like that you are in Nevada, so that money is residents that are going to be, you know, putting their money back, living and sending their kids to school here within Nevada. So I do appreciate that. And one of the things I do appreciate about auditing is the proactive measures that auditing helps support within our organization. So knowing that, you know, auditor, whichever one we pick, that they're both trusted firms so that people will not do things they're not supposed to by being aware that, you know, it is being monitored closely. So I just wanted to share. I appreciate that and gives me something to think about. Thank you.
Thank you, Cruz Crawford. I'm going to finish up with a couple questions myself. And I'm once again, following off of one of the questions Cruz Crawford mentioned, in regards to the fees, we're looking at about a $800,000 differential in expenses. If with your proposal from Ide Bailey, there was not a variance in regards to a reduction if the internal auditors for the system of higher education are utilized, what would that offset if some of the internal auditors were utilized in Nevada through the system for Ide Bailey?
Yeah, so again, Kurt Schlicker for the record. If we used internal audit, and we would because it sounds like you're very active and involved in the audit, many of our clients' internal audit prefers to be doing other performance audits and say, you guys handle the external audit. But as to speak towards internal audit, the amount of hours that internal audit assists us and reduces that workload, we would take our weighted average billing rate and reduce it appropriately. Again, if the hours came in under of what we've proposed, we proposed the hours assuming zero internal audit involvement. So if you added 200 or 300 hours to internal audit, we would take that weighted average rate and reduce it appropriately. And again, I know that over 5 years, it's about an $800,000 delta. But if you include the travel difference and you include the internal audit difference, we're actually very similar to within percentage points of the firm before us.
Thank you. Over the past 15 years that you previously mentioned, Kurt, is that we've been represented well. However, with this proposal, what can Ide Bailey provide this go-around that the system has not received?
Yes, thank you. I alluded to and mentioned earlier acting as a bridge between the State Controller's Office and ENSHE. Now, some of you may look at it as a negative because you're like, oh, do we need separation of duties there? I actually look at it as a very strong positive. The state has been going through the Great Recession. There's a ton of turnover. The state agencies are operating one way, and ENSHE is operating another way. And really, it's a time to bring everybody together, to work together, to carry out a common goal and objective. So in those times, you know, we get to really work as the advocate and work together, bringing everybody involved to just smooth it out. So it doesn't take 2 months to schedule a meeting to finally get everybody to agree. We can just take care of it immediately in one meeting and all come to consensus. I think that is a very big differentiation that we provide.
Thank you. We're going to head back over to the dais. I believe Regent Boylan, do you have another question?
Yes, sir. Thank you. It's not so much a question as a comment. I think we shouldn't be choosing any group for such an important job depending on diversity and the best skin color. In both groups, I thought the big, bad white boy, there was only one, and there were three women. So is it sexist? And the other group, there was a Russian, I think. So that's diversity. So all groups have their own kind of diversity. And I think this really has to end, especially in higher ed, where we choose people, oh, we must have diversity. No, we must have the best qualified person. And I think you guys are diverse. In fact, I'm thinking, well, this is terrible. There's only just one man here. That's success. But that's it. All right. Thank you. That's my statement. And it's got nothing to do with race or anything. It's just everything mixed up. This is just interesting. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Regent Boyd. I want to thank Ide Bailey for your presentation today. Well, first of all, are there any more questions from the dais?
Chair Arascana.
Regent Chris Crawford for the record.
Please go ahead, Cruz Crawford. Regent Cruz Crawford.
Regent Boylan, I respect that you felt comfortable enough to share that. I would like to clarify that I am focused on all different types of diversity. Because diversity of experiences and thoughts is actually very strategic in making sure that we're supporting our state, and it has nothing to do. I'm sorry you took it the wrong way, but I'll continue to make sure that our boards and look like the state we represent. So that is more than gender, and I'm working in all areas of that. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to forward it over to Attorney Linda King, I heard you trying to jump in there. Please jump.
Thank you,
please.
Chair. Linda King, Associate General Counsel. Just a couple of reminders for the committee members as they move into potential motion and deliberation. In terms of cost today, as the committee is evaluating the proposals, you may evaluate and consider the pricing options that are presented in the firm's proposals and not any perceived future potential ability to negotiate those costs. And when you are potentially making a motion for the selection and recommendation of a firm to the full board, if you could also include in that motion some language to the effect that if our purchasing department is unable to negotiate a contract with the first firm, that they will be able, according to their purchasing policies, to move on to the second firm without coming back to the committee or board for further action. Thank you.
Thank you, Counselor. Ide Bailey, thank you very much for the presentation.
Thank you.
We're going to have some discussions in regards to both of those remarkable presentations. And I'm going to put it up to the dais if there's any comments, questions, or dialogue we'd like to have with each other before we make a motion that was just eloquently stated by our attorney.
Chair Arascata, this is Interim Chief Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp. Is it okay if I take a minute to say a few things?
Absolutely. Please, Internal Auditor.
Okay. So thank you, Chair Arascata, and thank you to the committee for just allowing me a little bit of time right here to provide a few remarks on this item before your discussion. I'm going to try to keep this as brief as possible. I had mentioned earlier that there was an RFP subcommittee that was made up of individuals from each of the institutions that work directly with external auditors every year. So I just kind of wanted to go over a few takeaways from their discussions comparing the two firms. Given their proximity and the hours they spend with auditors each year, I feel their value or their input is valuable. So they unanimously agree that both proposals include well-qualified key team members, starting with the first presenter for Grant Thornton, the incumbent firm. The committee noted the firm has experience working with larger institutions and systems of higher education. They have a strong profile of large governmental and educational clients. Past performance and experience of similar projects is vast, which includes many universities, and they have significant experience engagements with large government agencies outside of Nevada. The partners and managers on the engagement have many years of experience in higher education, are familiar with ENCHI, and have a good understanding of higher education operations, processes, and risks. They have a slightly lower fees proposal and multiple fee structures. High national exposure, although no physical presence in Nevada, but a very strong presence in the general western region. There was a little bit of mixed feedback when talking amongst campus constituents. The partner level engagement yields extremely positive results. The partner knows ENCHI, extremely knowledgeable and helpful. While staffing fieldwork communications could be improved, there was feedback that improvements could be made related to timeliness of the single audit completion, along with extended reopen testing windows, just some delayed requests. The firm has familiarity with ENCHI, which adds value to the audit and risk assessment processes. However, the proposal didn't emphasize as strongly a commitment to communication, which has been identified as a key value to that subcommittee. Now, for Ide Bailey, the bidder outlined distinct approaches for each audit type, and there was an emphasis on risk-based approach and communication. This was appreciated. They have longstanding ongoing experience with the state of Nevada and other large entities in the state. They serve as the state's auditors, which could possibly lead to some economies of scale or efficiencies. They have extensive experience in higher education and good past performance and experience on recent similar projects based on client base. Even though they appear to be mostly community colleges and foundations with very few systems, several team members have been involved in the ENCHI audit in the past. This may help with gaining a quick familiarity as a new client. This group has audited components of ENCHI and provided good service. The bid is slightly higher, but within 10% of the other competitive bid. Since there was only one proposed set of fees provided, there were some questions on the possibility of including ENCHI internal audit, but that's been discussed. The partner seemed to have a good amount of experience, more partner hours allocated, which is important to a well-planned, efficient audit. But it seemed like the managers and associates had a little less experience, and the hours seemed a little higher for NCA, a little lower for UNLV Health, but within range. So lastly, it's important for whoever selected that we work together to ensure that the data collection form for the single audit and financial statements is submitted timely. We have a lot of familiarity with one firm, how they operate, that historic background that's led to some efficiencies over the years, and it's always difficult to switch out of audit firms. That approach can be different, more hours, questions to gain that initial understanding, but there can be benefits too. There's a different perspective. So these are two extremely qualified firms. I've had experience with individuals who are on both firms, and I'm extremely grateful that these two firms would like to work with us in the future. So with that, I'll pass the discussion back over to you, Chair Escada, and the committee, and thank you for hearing me out on some of that subcommittee's thoughts.
Mr. Thank you so much for kind of wrapping this entire presentation up. That was very summarized it well. Thank you very much. Once again, we're going to go ahead and forward this back over to the dais for questions, comments, or motions. Please, those on the dais, any questions?
This is Susan Brager, for the record.
Yes, Ms.
And please stop me if this is not a question that I can ask. The contract is always 5 years. I don't know who can answer that.
I'm going to pass this over to our interim internal auditor, Lauren Tripp.
So I know the last one was this way. So it's 3 years, and then it's like
two
the option
options.
For the two renewal.
Okay, that,
yeah.
I thought I had seen that, but I wanted to clarify. So 3 years and 2 1-year options. Mm-hmm. Okay. That I think that's really important, depending on where we make a final decision. So I want to hear from if anyone else has something to say, of course, and then go from there.
Anyone?
Chair Arascada, this is Amy Carvalho. I realize I'm not on this committee, but I would like to ask one question, please.
Please, absolutely. Go ahead, Chair Carvalho.
Thank you. I would like to know what the current contract states in terms of pricing for our internal auditor. I'm sorry, external auditor. Thank you.
Lauren Tripp, if you could take this one, although I know that price and get ready for this. Please go ahead, Lauren, or internal auditor, please.
Okay. I should have had this prepared, and I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. I can tell you it was, or Lauren Tripp, Interim Chief Internal Auditor, less than $700,000. But I'll get you an exact number in just a second.
Chair Arascada, while she's doing that, this is Susan Brager.
Yep.
When she's finished, I'd like to speak if no one else is speaking.
Yep, I have you. And then after you, Regent Brager, we'll go to Cruz Crawford. Regent Cruz Crawford, I apologize.
You can let Regent Crawford go first.
Excellent. Well, interim internal auditor is still searching for that. We'll go to Regent Cruz Crawford, please.
Thank you, Chair Scott. I appreciate you really working on having equity within the questioning. So I appreciate your leadership. Regent Cruz Crawford, for the record, I did want to just kind of share some thoughts in regard to the two firms that at first look, when I look through what each one of them had to bring to the table, I created a spreadsheet on some factors that I can look at with both of them. Obviously, price, that's number one, like Regent Brager, right? I wanted to ask if they have a military discount. Just kidding. But I did look at the cost and then what they were able to bring to the table. One of the things that is really important to me when hiring a firm is looking at how they treat their own employees. And I do want to report out that I looked at both firms. I used some really great resources such as Reddit, Glassdoor, and Indeed, but both firms have really high ratings with their employees and workforce. So I did want to share that with the team. I was thinking about relationships and how we need our auditors and our organization to feel comfortable with the auditors. And I really like that the second firm is here in within the state of Nevada because, when I'm thinking about customer service, I'm thinking about access and relationships. So I would just like to share that with the committee.
Thank you, Rita Cruz Crawford. Prior to going to Regent Brager, we're going to go back over to Interim Internal Auditor Lauren Tripp.
Hi, this is Lauren Tripp, Interim Chief Internal Auditor. If you wanted to go to Regent Brager first, no? Oh, okay. So what I have for the renewal, your 5 of 5 is $685,000, but that is just what's in the document. There might have been additional hours spent that I'm not adding into the total cost. I'm not sure if somebody from finance would like to jump in here, but that's what I have in the document that I have, but...
Thank you, Mr. Well, I'm going to go ahead and forward this over to Chief Financial Officer Chris Fatone.
Thank you, Regent Arascata. Chris Fatone, and Chief Financial Officer. It is on. But confirming folks can hear me? Okay. Lauren had the correct numbers for the base audit fees. There were some additional charges for work that was out in excess of the anticipated scope, related primarily to the significant federal awards associated with COVID relief and some additional work related to UNLV Health's single audits that, again, those were, as the auditor mentioned, the first years in their in the experience of having single audits. There was some extra work there that wasn't originally contemplated in the audit fees that were set in the contract.
Thank you, CFO Vuitton. Appreciate it. Regent Brager, do you have any follow-ups?
Regent DiCarlo would like to say something first.
Please, Regent DiCarlo.
Thank you, Chair Scott. I couldn't get my button on. I think I'm the only one that was on this committee when we did the contract. I think, was it 5 years ago? 3 years ago? 5 years ago? Whatever it was. And I say we would be very well served with both groups. But there is a difference here. And I think it really does make a difference having people in our state, on the ground. I was for a change last time I had the opportunity to vote, and I'm still for a change. And I loved what Kim McCormick said. We trust them. We like them. They have depth and reach. But I'm one of those that thinks after so many, I think it's 15 years we've had the same firm, am I correct, Grant Thornton, and you've done a wonderful job. I just think it doesn't hurt us to have fresh eyes and a new look. So that's my opinion, and we'll see how the vote goes. But I know we're going to be well served with either one, but I just think it'd be great to have people. You said over 200 people, 242 people total that are actually in Nevada, in every place that our institutions are and our relationship with the state. It'd be nice to see that change. So that's my opinion. Thank you.
Regent Carl, if I could put you on the spot, is that a motion to place Ide Bailey?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion then to make a change to Ide Bailey. And in the event that when it goes to, I'm not sure what the wording here is, but when it goes to the procurement, is it procurement?
Your motion would be for the selection and recommendation to the full board of the firm that you're recommending. And then in the event there was an impediment to the contract negotiations, the purchasing department would follow their procedures to contract with the next bidder.
Okay, purchasing. So to Ide Bailey, and in the event that the purchasing department, there's any difficulties, then the full board doesn't need to come back, and we would then go to the second firm, being Grant Thornton. Did I say that okay, Council? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Regent Del Carlo.
I'll second it.
From members on the members on the committee, Regent Boylan, please go ahead.
I said I second that, but I apologize.
Nope, you're just fine there, Regent Boylan.
Thank you, sir.
So, if Regent Brager, please.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I do have a question. So, if this motion were to pass at that 3-year point, do we get whoever's on this committee, would they be able to ask questions of how did things go, what happened, all of that? Or it just automatically through legal goes to that 4th and 5th year?
It typically what happens is that goes through the purchasing department. Linda King for the record. That renewal will go through the purchasing department, but you could certainly, as the committee, make a request that any renewal comes back through you.
So could I make an amendment to the motion in regards to that, or do we wait till
we would withdraw the motion and withdraw the second and restate a new motion?
Would the motion maker be willing to do that? Just because we've had, and I'll just finish, that was not going to be my motion, by the way, but I'm going to see what happens. I do love people that spend money here, buy cars, groceries, all the things that they do that helps our economy. That's not always why you vote for someone, and I'm not saying you're doing it for that reason. I would like to see that put into the motion, or if she has to withdraw it and redo the motion, that at year 3, because they are a new firm, they have some experience but not the greater experience. And so before year 3 were to end, let's say midway through, I would like an agenda item to come back to see how things are gone, speak with accounting, our auditor, who's the expert in that. So I don't know if you want to do that or not.
Regent Del Carlo, for the record, I personally don't think it's necessary. We have enough of a process to where in 3 years that it can come back. And you may or may not even be on the committee. I may or may not be on the committee. I am up for re-election this year, so I may not even be here. And I just think we have a process in place that we can do that. So I would say no.
Okay. And then I will vote against the motion. But I would like to have that just be part of it, and I don't think it harms anything. We could say we have the ability to do it. Doesn't mean we have to do it. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you for the comments, by all. I'm going to forward over to Angela Palmer to do a roll call vote of the committee members. So Regent Carlo's motion, we're going to be voting if Ide Bailey will be the representative, the external auditor for the Nevada System of Higher Education. Angela?
Chair Arascada.
Yes.
Vice Chair Cruz Crawford.
Yes.
Regent Boylan.
Yes.
Regent Brager.
I will, because of the majority, I will vote yes, but I would still have appreciated being met halfway with a possibility of looking at what's happening in mid-year 3.
Regent Del Carlo.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all. Greatly appreciate the presentations today. And we are going to, I apologize. At the conclusion of this, of these great two presentations, I want to thank both in both companies for providing knowledge, a historical perspective, the full analytics of every part about the presentation and what you all both would and will be providing. So, Grant Thornton, we greatly appreciate your representation over the past 15 years, and we are going to be moving on to Ide Bailey, and thank you all. So with that stated, I move to approve the selection and recommendation to the full board that it engage Ide Bailey as the external auditors for the Nevada System of Higher Education for the fiscal years ending July 30th of 2024, 2025, and 2026. And should there be any impediment to securing a contract with Ide Bailey, that the system administration staff follow in Nevada System of Higher Education's purchasing policies to engage the Grant Thornton firm. With that stated, let's move on to agenda item number 4. New business. Is there any new business for the audit committee? None? I'm going to make one new business, and this is an item in which I've discussed with our interim external auditors. My new business item is the recruiting and appointment of a permanent chief internal auditor. I'm requesting the formation of a search committee to initiate the process as the current interim internal auditor contract expires July 31st of 2024. So at the conclusion of new business, I'm going to go to public comment.
Chair Scott, Bridget Cruz Crawford for the record. I didn't know if anything should be stated about the next meeting, how we are having new Title IX procedures. Is that worth a presentation about those items? I just don't know how to state that for new business.
I think you kind of just did.
Okay. So one of the requests by constituents, I got to do a listening tour onto campuses where I got to eat at the dining facilities of some of our campuses and talk to students from all different backgrounds. Region Boylan, that means all different like focus areas like engineering, nursing, and whatnot, different programs. And so they had shared that some of their concerns were how Title IX complaints come in and the timeline and when they're addressed. And I then sent it to the previous chair. And then when Regent Arascotta became the chair, I sent it to him. And we were told by the Title IX department that there was going to be some changes. So we're requesting a review of what the new policies and procedures are for that, so that we can help support that as a committee. So thank you.
Thank you, Regent Cruz Crawford. I'm going to forward over to public comment. Is there any public comment in Elko?
There is no public comment in Elko at this time.
And as I'm looking in Reno, there's none here. Is there any public comment in Las Vegas?
There is no public comment in Las Vegas.
SCS, is there any public comment on the telephones?
There is no online at this time.
Thank you. I'm going to call the conclusion of this meeting at 11:04. Meeting adjourned.